Amen. I'm glad that I have the promise one day I can sail out on the old ship of Zion. Why? Because he lives. Thank God, because on that one Sunday morning, I thank God, Brother Brian, he got up, amen, up out of that grave, amen, guaranteeing that wonderful plan of salvation. Amen. I'm so glad for that. Turn your Bible just for a little while. You pray for us this morning. We got a thought that the Lord laid upon our heart maybe yesterday or day before yesterday, and really struggled on how to get it together and preach it together. We're just going to trust in the Lord to let it give us strength to help preach the way that he'd have us to. So you pray. Amen. If you'll do that, it'll come out the way it's supposed to. And I promise you that. Not through nothing I can do, but thank God it's through the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God, through the prayers, and that God wants to do here this morning in the life of you that are here. And can I say today, I hope you came this morning to receive something. I hope you came this morning ready to listen, ready to accept and receive what God has for you. Can I say, you say, preacher, why is that? I just come to, hey man, kill Sunday morning. I just come because that's how I feel that's the right thing to do on Easter morning. But can I say today, you ought to come to the house of God, amen, for the Word of God.
Yep.
And I guarantee if you'll do that, when the Word of God is proclaimed through the anointing power of the preacher, through the anointing power, the anointing power of God through the preacher, can I say, once it's given, then it's up to you and I to do with it what the Lord had given to us. Amen. So we pray that you'll do that this morning. Book of Acts, chapter number 17. Just read a few. We hit and skip. Try to get the thought about the message across the way that we feel like the Lord have you to get it. Acts 17. We'll start reading verse 1 through 5. And then we'll skip down to the latter part of the chapter and read the remainder of it. Acts 17, beginning verse 1, the word of God says this. And when he had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them in three Sabbath days, reading with them out of the Scripture, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consulted with Paul and Silas, and the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. If you look down through verse number 16, the Word of God says this, Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons in the market daily and with him that met with him. Then certain philosophers, the Epicureans and the Stoics, encountered him. Some said, What will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth a strange God because he preaches unto them Jesus and the resurrection. I like that. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. Thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, we would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, amen, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he hath given to all life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, hath determined the time before appointed and the bonds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Verse 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devices. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent. Here's what I want to get to. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The Bible said in verse 32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris, and others with him. Father, we thank you for the reading of thy word. God, help us to proclaim the truth of thy text the way that you have us to. God, that hearts might be touched by thy precious word. Father, I will thank you, praise you for who you are. God, what you've done. Father, what you're about to do this morning. God, take this message and apply it to the heart of those that's here. God, those that may be here today, lost and undone, this might be the day, God, that you accept. They accept the wonderful gift of salvation. Father, we thank you for what you've done, what you're about to do. We pray in this thy name, we pray. Amen. And amen. Excuse me. We see here in Acts chapter 16, and if you look at chapter 16, leads right into chapter 17, where we find out that Paul is preaching, amen, the word of God. He's going through all the cities there, and you see in chapter 16, he went to the house of one Lydia. I went to a prayer meeting, and when he came into town, there was a group of women there on the riverbank praying, and he began to share with them the gospel. Obviously, there was one, Silver Purple Lydia was her name. She received the word of God when God opened up her eyes to the word or the gospel of Jesus Christ. We find out that as he went into Lydia's house, there was a one there that had a divination or had a spirit. Amen. A divination. It was in this lady. Amen. And those that her master used that gift or that divination, she had to make money. The Bible said that when that unclean spirit was cast out of this woman, the Bible said those that had used her to make money realized what had happened. They began to stir up trouble. They began to counteract or began to go against the teaching of Paul. And we find out because of that, they began to stir up the Jews there in that area. To the point that Paul had to go to Thessalonica. And he was preaching there, and the same thing happened. Then we find out that he went to Berea. When he went to Berea, the Bible said he began to preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible said they were not like the Thessalonians. They began to receive him more readily. But the Bible said that when, those that were in Thessalonica, the Jews, heard that he was in Berea, they came down to Berea causing trouble there. And to the point they tried to lay hands upon Paul. The Bible said that those that were with him sent him away to Athens. We find out that, he was just waiting there for Athens for Silas and Timotheus to come to him. He left them there in Berea. We find out that Paul began to look around. Paul began to walk around there in Athens. He began to see things that upset him. He began to see things that just broke his heart. Why? Because in Athens, they worshiped many gods. I believe it was a great philosopher once said, an ancient philosopher said about the city of Athens, that you could find more gods than you could men. No idea was a place where pagan worship was going on. Honey, whatever they could set up, or whatever they could look up, set up high to worship to, bow to, that's exactly what they did. We find out that it began to stir, of Paul's heart. The Bible said he was stirred up when he seen the city wholly given unto adultery, or idols. We find out that he began to preach. I want to pray to share to your thought this morning. Because he lives, we can live also. I like what Brother Stanley sung. Because he lives, touches my heart. The song that Brother Brian sung, about that Easter morning. I'm glad, thank God, he did what nobody else could do. He got up out out of that grave. And can I tell you today how the resurrection is something that we preach, ought to be preached. Hey, amen, if you don't preach that resurrection, you need to sit down and let somebody else get up there and wheel. Why? Because, hey, amen, the gospel of salvation, hey, amen, has to do with a resurrected Savior. You'll look at Paul's preaching. That's the first point I want to bring out. The preaching of Paul, you see in the first part of that scripture, the Bible said an opening. Let me just turn there. The Bible said in verse number 2, and Paul, as that man it was, went into them, and three Sabbath days read with him out of scripture, open and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. I want you to understand that the preaching of the Apostle Paul was a resurrection preaching. Everywhere he went, he preached the resurrection. Why? Because Paul understood the importance of the significance of a resurrected preaching. Amen. It was part of the gospel of Jesus Christ unto salvation. And Paul realized for man to be to know what it is to live as Christ lived, they had to be preached about the resurrected Savior. Now, don't you understand? Amen. When Paul got to Athens, he began to look around. He began to see. Amen. What was going on? All the false worship, all the different gods. Amen. The Athenians were worshiping. And he realized something about those gods. Brother Wayne, those gods had not resurrected. Those gods that Brother Perry taught a while ago. Amen. In the book of Psalms. Amen. About those idols that had a hand that could not feel, ears that could not hear, eyes that could not see. That's what the Athenians were worshiping. Something that would not give them life. Something that would not help them live the life that they need to live. Something that would not help them when it come time to die.
Amen. Right.
Paul's preaching was about a resurrected Savior. It was about one that could give life to those. Because, amen, he had life. Because, amen, he physically, amen, conquered death, hell, and the grave. And because he physically rose up or got up out of that grave the third day. Because of that, that was a resurrected preacher that Paul preached to proclaim that was the gospel of salvation. And I tell you today, that's the same gospel that we need to stand behind the pulpit and preach. For me to live as Christ, to die as gain, Paul said. He realized that only the way he could live the life. Amen. The life, the powerful life. Amen. He said over in the book of Philippians, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul understood. Amen. That he had to preach that resurrected Savior. Amen. To bring to show up men. Amen. Those around him. That's what life was all about. And I tell you, we can live our life down here the best we know how. Amen. It's still as far short. If you look at the scripture, the Bible says that when he was there in Athens, the Bible said he began to preach to them, or began, amen, going around the different places when he was waiting on Silas and Timothy to come there. And the Bible said now, verse 16, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to adultery. Therefore he disputed in the synagogue with the Jews, with the devout persons, and the market daily, and them that met with him. In other words, he began to share with them the gospel of the resurrected Savior. Amen. You say, preacher, what happened? The Bible said, and then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him and said, what will this babbler say? And if you'll do the study of the Epicureans, you'll find out that the Epicureans believe that supreme good is found in a poor when a person tries, amen, to do the best he can do. No, that was their belief. About like it is today in America. Folks believe, well, all you got to do is do the best you can do and everything will be all right. That was a belief that the Epicureans have, and it was a belief that would not bring life. He would not ensure them of life everlasting. And I say today, that same belief of society today, amen, will not provide life to those that believe that. He will not provide help to those, amen, that need help. He will not provide the promise of everlasting life and a place called heaven, amen, to those that die without that gift of salvation. The Bible said the Stoics began to, amen, do the same. And amen, the Stoics, their teaching was just the opposite. You know what they said? Well, what good? Amen. To do the best you can do, still it's short enough. And amen, amen. They just live your life and let everything fall as it lies. That was their belief. We've got those two. In other words, preacher, it don't matter what you do, what we do. Amen. It's just what it is. And hey, can I tell you, it does matter what we do. It does matter in who we believe. It does matter in whom we trust. It does matter how thank God the decisions you make upon this earth. It does matter in whom you put your trust. You see, that was the belief that was going on there in Athens. You see, they were, in essence, looking for something that they could not find. The Bible said when he passed through Athens, he falls down, found an altar, found an idol. Hey, man, as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing that he giveth to all life and breath and all things. All the idols that they worshipped there, amen, when they moved from place to place, amen, they literally had to pick them up and move them from one place to the next. Hey, man, I'm glad he said, listen, Paul said the God that I preach to you don't need anybody to help him. Don't need anybody to move him from place to place. Hey, remember the God that I preach to you, the God whom you're looking for, amen, who I declare to you today, this is the true and living God. God, amen, because he lives, you can live. You see, he said, you've been looking for the unknown God. He said, I'm declaring him unto you. He's not like your God. He's different. I want you to look what he said. Then he began to go on. Amen. And said, the Bible said that they should seek the Lord and have him, if my feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Paul said this in verse 28, for in him we live and move, have our beings, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead, amen, is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man devices. Know what he said? Listen, I want to show you something. How about this God? I want to show you because he lives, we can live also. And we see the preaching of Paul of the resurrected Savior. But we find out in this passage of Scripture here, in verse number 29, we see the preeminence of God, or the preeminence of that risen Savior. He said, listen, you're worshiping those things, those idols of gold and silver. I'm trying to declare to you somebody in whom we live and move and have our being. That is preeminent. That is far better than it is before. Amen. It can do what your gods cannot do. Amen. It can help you in a way. Amen. Because he lives and you also can live.
Amen.
Paul says, for in him, where is in this preeminent God that we live and move and have our being. Can I say, if you're here today, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can try every effort in this world to make it to heaven. You can try every effort in this world to try to have a life of fullness and joy and peace. Oh, but can I tell you today, you can try to find it in the materialistic things of this world. You can try to find it all. Amen. The philosophy of this world that we live in today. Just live it up. Amen. Because you're going to die. Just enjoy life while you got it. Amen. Let everything else fall in place just like the Stoics believed. Oh, but can I tell you today, let me tell you about this preeminent Savior, the one that is far better than what the world can ever give you. One that is far better than anything that life can ever afford you or allow you to have. I'm talking about a Savior that left the portals of glory down the robe of a fleshly man, who lived a perfect life, died for mankind. Thank God that third day rose from the dead. Can I tell you, he is preeminent. The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians. Let me turn and read that scripture for you. Amen. The book of Colossians, chapter number 1, the Word of God says this. Who hath delivered us, verse 13, from the power of darkness, and hath translated us to the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of every creature. By him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or all things created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I'm glad, thank God. Amen. He began to declare it to you, and they began to preach it to them. How about that risen Savior? But he began to show them, thank God, that preeminent God. The one, amen, that was far above all their idols. All the gods that they were worshiping there in Athens. Paul began to preach to them, listen, let me tell you about one that's far better. Let me tell you about that unknown God to whom you've been looking for. That unknown God to whom you erected an altar for. Amen. That unknown God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that Savior. Amen. He is what you've been looking for. Can I tell you today, if you're here today and never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, can I say he is what you're looking for? Amen. Man is looking for, amen, joy, looking for peace. Amen. Looking for something that will satisfy that longing in his heart. Amen. To feel that void that's within his heart, within his life. Can I tell you, that's exactly who Jesus is. He is that one that can fill that void. Why do you think folks go to the, amen, the liquor joints and, amen, take that liquor and buy that liquor and down it by the gallons, by the, amen, by the bottles? Why do you think folks, amen, get those needles, stick them in the arm, trying to find that sense of peace and fulfillment? They're looking for something, amen, that this world cannot give them. And that something in this God, this gospel, amen, or this preeminent God that Paul proclaimed to those at Athens, he is the same one. Amen, that can fulfill in your life what you can't do for yourself. Heard a testimony. Great sports star. Many of you, if I mention the name, you probably know him. And he made this statement. I mean, he had the best. Amen, a big football star. And, amen, had all the money he could ever want. He said, had all. Amen, the women I could ever hope to even be around me. He said, I had all the pleasure that this world could ever give me. One day, driving his vehicle down the old country mountain road, amen, and went off the side of the cliff trying to take his life. Amen, he later said, I've had it all. But then still, I didn't have what I was looking for until I found Jesus. And I say, you can have all that money can give you. You can have the best that this world can provide for you. You can have all the pleasures, amen, this flesh may want. But can I tell you, it's still short of what you're looking for. It'll not feel that longing in your soul. Those Athenians, they were looking for that true and living God. That one that could feel that void in their lives. That one that could help them, amen, live that joyous, abundant life. But they could not find it. Why? Because they were searching in the wrong places, looking to the wrong gods. Amen. Paul said, this is the one that you need to be looking to. This is that preeminent God. This is that one that can do what your gods cannot do. We're living in a world today, even our government, amen, is trying to say, well, everybody's got the right to, amen, choose your own God. Believe in their own God, live their own life. But can I say there is but one true God? All the other gods, amen, are false gods. Preacher, can I say that's true? And there is not, the Bible said, to whom can you liken me? In the book of Isaiah chapter 40, I believe it is. To whom shall you compare me to? He said, I am the old one. All of the things, they had all these gods that they had so much trust and faith in that would get them where they need to go. But they didn't realize that they could not do and could not fulfill that sense of fulfillment that they needed in their lives. And there was only one God. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of the Trinity Godhead. But I want you to look what it said. Paul said, much sins, we are the offspring of God. We ought not to think that God hid us like unto gold or silver, stone, graven by art, man's devices. At this time, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now like verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Now like this, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he raised him from the dead. Verse 31 said, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. I'm glad that man whom he ordained was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God said, why he winked at their ignorance. They were looking for that true God. But they were searching in all the wrong places, trying to find what they needed. The Bible said he winked at their ignorance. Can I tell you today, I believe God's doing the very same thing to America. I believe he's winking. Hey, man, the ignorance of folks that are trying to find God in all the wrong places, trying to find that sense of peace, that sense of joy, that sense of happiness in all the wrong things. Hey, the Bible said he winked. He said, here's coming a day when all men will be judged by righteousness by that man. Oh, can I tell you today, amen, the Bible said, he talked about, amen, unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and Sadducees, honey, you'll be in trouble. Can I tell you today, the only way how that we can be found righteous in the eyes of God is through the righteousness of that man. It's that righteousness, what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, what he did, amen, when he died, yet thank God what he did, when he got up out of the grave, thank God, amen, whereby you and I can take on his righteousness, of the righteousness of Christ, is imputed to our account. Because we choose to believe in that resurrected Savior. Because we choose to accept the work that Jesus did, Brother Wayne, realize for us to live, amen, he had to live. For us to have that life, Brother Brian, he had to get up out of that grave, which he did. Hey, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul was preaching those. I told him about the importance of the resurrection. He said, listen, had he not risen, then our preaching would be vain. You would still be in your sin and would be alive because we proclaim that he is when he ain't. But I like what he said. But now he is Christ risen. He is the first fruits of them that slept. I'm glad because he got up. Amen, not only do we find that gift of, amen, that God, the presence of God, but that precious gift that was given to us through what Jesus did when he, amen, through the work that he did on Calvary, amen, the resurrection, all that he did through his life, amen, that precious gift of salvation, that precious gift of knowing the true and living God, Brother Stephen, amen, it was to fill that void in our life that would help us do what no other thing could do. But then I like what it said. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Not only see the preaching, amen, of the gospel by Paul, amen, which includes the resurrection. We see the preeminence of God in verse 29, that precious gift in verse 31. But, amen, in verse 31, we also see that proof that is guaranteed. He said, here's your assurance. Hey man, that he is so much better than your God. And the fact that he has raised him from the dead. Right. In other words, he ain't in the grave like your others. He ain't in that same place like Muhammad or Buddha, or those that have been made mention of this morning already on several occasions. He's not there. Thank God he's risen.
Yep.
Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, hey man, he got up out of the grave. He was seen as Cephas and Paul, this one and that one, and above 500, but last of all, he was seen of me, Paul. In other words, it's a historical fact. It's proven in history. Jesus did get up out of that grave. Honey, you can deny a lot of things. You can deny, hey man, he is who he is. Honey, he proved he is who he is by what he did when he got up out of that grave. He did what nobody else could do, Brother Wayne. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. I thank God he got up out of that death. Hey, put that one into mission. Oh, to give us the victory, to shout, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the power through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say today, you see, it is that guarantee, but that is proven. The fact that he did get up out of that grave. But I want you to notice one last thing, and I'm done. Let's look to the response. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And when he heard the resurrection of the dead, the Bible says some mocked. Another said, we will hear thee again of this matter. And then verse 34, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. There were three reactions to the preaching of the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible said there were some that mocked. There were some, they were pretenders. No way they could. These Jews, they had come from Thessalonica, they had come from different places to wherever Paul was preaching the gospel of the resurrection. Amen. Trying to disrupt, trying to just tear down everything that he was doing. Mocking him, pretending. Oh, I'm this and I'm that. Yet they were not accepting the truth of the resurrected Savior. Can I say today, you can pretend. You can say you're this, you're that. Amen. But if you deny the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're denying the gospel of salvation.
Right. Yes,
just that simple. Yes, a lot of folks in behind their pulpits are pretenders. Right. Amen. They'll pretend, well, if you'll do this, you'll do that. Amen. They'll deny the virgin birth. They'll deny the blood. And some of them even deny the resurrection, even though it's a proven fact.
Yeah.
What are they, preacher? They're pretenders. They're mockers. Making fun of them, trying to put a stop. That's not how you need to look at it. Hey man, you Christians. Hey man, you're just a bloody bunch. Hey man, you go to the extreme. I'm glad, thank God. He went to the extreme for me. We ought to be willing to preach the extreme. Hey man, because it is the gospel. They were mockers, pretenders. Then the Bible said they were some procrastinators. We will hear again of this matter later on. Remember, I believe Paul stood before. He's either Felix or Festus, one of the two. Hey, man, some more convenient time I'll call for you. No way they were putting off, hey, man, the fact that they needed to put their trust in Jesus. They said, listen, how we're just going to keep worshiping our God. We'll listen to you again later on. Whether they got that opportunity or not, I don't know. Can I say, don't you put off life. Don't you put off the opportunity to accept the most precious gift that you could ever have. That's the gift of salvation. Don't put it off. Rachel, why not? You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed today. Many of you heard me tell this story, and I'll tell it again. Some of you may have not heard it. Pastor in Pine Island Baptist Church, Tuesday night, a revival meeting, I believe it was, or Monday night. Monday, shoot, I can't remember what night it was. Brother Mark Caskey was preaching, and there were two ladies that were there. One of them was a member, and the other one was, if I remember, it was Co-Baptist Church. Her name was Miss Gibson, I believe. Amen, and Miss Gibson, they're up in years, and amen on that Monday night. She said, preacher, I said, I want you to pray for me. He said, boy, my legs are getting me fit. She had on up a year, probably in her 70s, I guess. And she said, preacher, I've been having trouble getting around. I want you to pray for me that, Lord, just help my legs. I'll be able to walk again. So, it was after service. So we just started praying right then. And then the Lord put it on my heart to make this statement to her. I said, honey, don't you worry. You'll be walking good for long. I was just assuming God would touch and heal her because I believe in what that we had prayed. Here tonight, revive me, she came back. She said, "Preacher, boy, I'm walking better. I feel a lot better. Boy, I rejoice." I said, "God done it. He done it." Got home. That Tuesday night, revival meeting, hadn't been home probably 20 or 30 minutes, and got a phone call. "Preacher, you need to come to the hospital. There's been an accident. Miss Gibson, the other lady, and one more in a vehicle coming home. They was living in Scottsboro, as a matter of fact. And they was coming home and was hit by a vehicle. Miss Gibson and the other lady, amen, died. Both of them saved. Both of them knew the Lord. Had a testimony. And it ain't down my mind where they spent eternity because I've seen them. I've seen them. Seen one of them get saved by the grace of God there at Pine Island. Amen. And you see, they left this walk of life. You see, she was walking a whole lot better. But I didn't realize what God was talking about. But God did. You see, they came there that Tuesday night. When they left church, they probably thought, "Well, I can't wait to get back here Wednesday night." Little did he realize that God was fixing to usher them into the very throne room of glory. They were ready to meet God. But let me ask you the question, what if that happens to you today? What if you get in your vehicle, you go out of the parking lot of Pathway Baptist Church, some of you had to get on Highway 72, some of you had to get on Highway 79. What if you meet with an accident? What if you... Amen. Should leave this walk of life. Can I ask you the question, where will you spend eternity? You see, procrastinating and receiving the gift of salvation is a dangerous game. Honey, if you don't know without shouting out, you've been saved by the grace of God. I wouldn't leave this building until I accepted Jesus as Lord of my life. Preacher, you don't need to scare me, honey. If I can scare you with the truth, amen, of how close death is, then if it does that to get you to an old-fashioned altar, the Bible says, some fear with fear, pull them out of the fire. You see, there were some pretenders, some mockers. There's some procrastinators. We'll listen to you again. But I want you to look. Howbeit certain men clave to him and believed among, which were Dasonius and Demarius. There was a man and woman. They didn't mock. They didn't procrastinate. They simply possessed or received that wonderful gift of what they had heard, that gift of salvation. That gift of life that came through that resurrected Savior. That resurrected preaching that Paul preached to them. That said, because he lives, you too can have the same hope. The same promise. Let me ask you, which group are you going to be a part of? Are you going to be a part of the pretenders? "Well, I think I've got everything all right. I think I got what I need, preacher. I treat people right. I do good. I don't cuss. I don't drink. I think everything's going all right, preacher." You're pretending, but yet you're mocking that resurrected Savior. Maybe you're the group that preaches some more convenient time. "Maybe I'll do it next Sunday. I'll do it tonight." Tonight or next Sunday may never come. Why don't you be like this third group? Why don't you be like Dasonius? Why don't you be like this lady and gladly receive the wonderful gift of salvation? That this be the day. As you can tell, folks, I remember all Easter morning 2017 at Pathway Baptist Church. Oh, I started living. To that Easter morning, Bethway Baptist Church, God save my soul. Dear old lady home, she's home with me of the Lord now, Miss Carolyn Shelton. That was her. Amen. That was her testimony. Oh, Easter morning, Centennial Baptist Church, I accepted Jesus, Lord of my life. Every Easter I'd hear that testimony. She also said this. She said, "I believe that was my last opportunity." I said, "No, time and time again. I believe that God gave me that last opportunity." She said, "Had I said no that Easter morning," she said, "I don't believe God would ever give me that other opportunity." Can I tell you, that could be you this morning. This could be the last time that God is dealing with you. The Bible said, "My spirit should not always strive with man." Oh, this could be that last opportunity you may get to accept that gift of life because of the resurrected Savior. Every head bowed, that's the message.